You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Braves reporter, Mark Bowman. And Mark, the Braves have dropped the first two games of the series at home to the Reds, and those are the kind of games that I don't think the Braves can afford to lose in a season where they're clearly, you know, outmanned for the most part. The Reds are a team in a similar situation. You get them at home, you'd like to take advantage of that opportunity. But it's a four-game series, so a couple more to try to get things turned around. They've done some things here this week. One move, Malik Smith moving to the top of the order. It's something he did when Ender Inciarte was injured earlier in the season, but now Inciarte's healthy. What's the goal with Smith hitting leadoff? Is this just a chance to see if he can kind of do it?
Yeah, that's exactly what they want to do. As early as probably around this time last year and a little bit earlier, they started to say, hey, look, Malik Smith is a leadoff hitter of the future. They moved Jose Peraza out of the leadoff spot for that reason, down there at the minor league level. They went and got Inciarte and immediately touted him as their leadoff hitter of the future. And now here they are back to – it does make sense. So I do think that Malik's, you have to give him a chance in this role, see how he performs. I think he does profile more as a leadoff hitter than Inciarte, who's been a little bit – I'd say he's a little bit more aggressive, type of hitter than you make one at there at the leadoff spot, chases some bad pitches. And, hey, look, at this stage of the career, Malik Smith is still doing the same. But I think they just are saying, hey, look, this is a prime opportunity to give him a chance to perform in this role, you know, and continue. They sat him against a lot of lefties. They allowed him to hit in that leadoff spot there against Brandon Finnegan, a pretty tough lefty there, the Red Southpaw there, Tuesday night. But at the same time, I think they'll pick and choose some spots here moving forward. But as things stand, and as we know with the Braves, the plans change quite frequently. The plan is to move forward, using Smith in the leadoff spot and Inciarte batting second.
We're going to get into the draft a little bit later in the podcast here, and obviously there's been a big focus in general on young pitchers for the Braves. But Mark, over the last couple weeks or last few starts, a couple of the veterans have looked pretty good. I put Julio Teheran into that veteran category for the team right now. And then Bud Norris as well. Last two starts after returning to the rotation, faced the Dodgers June 4th, faced the Cubs, which is obviously an impressive lineup, June 10th. And he very good. I'm 5 innings, 3 hits, a run against the Dodgers, but then 7 innings and an earned run against the Cubs. Solid outings for Norris, and this is the kind of stuff they thought they were getting coming into the season from Norris, I think, right?
Well, you know, that's just what is more than they probably had hoped for, considering the circumstances. You know, he gets moved out of the rotation there at the end of April. He spends a month in the bullpen. Doesn't, you know, really had two appearances where he threw more than 30 pitches over the course of that month. Goes out to L.A. and provides 5 solid innings. Comes back 5 days later, 5 more solid innings against the Cubs lineup. I think this is a credit to Bud Norris's character. I mean, he certainly didn't appreciate being moved out of the rotation, which is expected. But at the same time, he didn't pout. He was relatively effective in the bullpen, filling a lot of different roles, long man, middle man, setup man. You know, he's been bounced around. He gets put back in the rotation, he says, you know, and he's got a little chip on his shoulder. He's a guy who he has a lot of confidence in himself, and for good reason, you know, based on what he's shown here as he's come back and proved his doubters wrong. It's moving forward, the Braves hope to continue to get these kind of starts from him. And you know, this is the middle of June. So by this time next month, if he's still doing the same, we'll be talking about, you know, where they might trade him, because that's certainly the spot he's in right now. They're hoping to gain some value from him. But, you know, like you said, when they signed him, they were hoping, hey, we'll get a couple months out of him trading, bring up some of the young kids. You know, that ended up, that those plans changed there when he was struggled so frequently through his 5 April starts. But now they may be able to get back to, within the next month or so, be able to get some value from him.
Yeah, work that flip game with him. So John Gant gets a start on Sunday, and I know he didn't last five innings, Mark, but what did you think of Gant in a starting role?
You know what? It's interesting. A lot of scouts coming out of spring training said, hey, look, he's a reliever. And he probably is, but he has been much more effective as a starter, at Gwinnett, than he was as a reliever here in Atlanta. I know that's, that comparison can be apples and oranges, but at the same time, I think it's interesting how effective he was on Sunday against the Cubs. He issued a few early walks, pitched, got better as the start went on. He's basically a fastball changeup guy with a very deceptive delivery. Maybe it is just simply going to take some time for teams to get used to getting a look at that a few times. But, hey, look, with Mike Fulton, Nevich hurt, Williams Perez hurt, it makes sense to give Gant a few starts. I thought that they might have gone with Casey Kelly and given him a few more starts, because I thought Casey deserved it after what he did in Philadelphia. But at the same time, I think if you're looking at, hey, look, which upside do we not know about yet as a starter, I think that you're probably pointing towards John Gant. So it probably makes more sense to put him in this role, give him a few starts at least until Fulton Nevich or Perez return. Fulton Nevich should be first to return among those two. And just see what you have.
All right, Mark, we mentioned the draft, and the Braves were in a great spot because they had the number 3 pick, but then they had some other picks quickly after that, 40 and 44. And we talked about it going into the draft. It's an opportunity to kind of play the numbers game, and if you can get a guy early that's willing to take a little less as far as bonus goes, that frees up more money to spend on guys that have kind of slipped later. And that is exactly what the Braves were able to do. Now, the danger in that is that you don't get the guy you really want with that first pick because you're trying to save the money. But I think Ian Anderson, most people didn't consider him to be the guy that was going to be the first pitcher taken off the board, but it seemed like the Braves fell in love with this guy in the last couple weeks leading up to the draft. I think they did get exactly the guy they wanted, and then they're able
to
get
Joey
Wentz.
Yeah, I think they did end up getting the guy they wanted.
Yeah.
And by getting, let's say this. I think the second pitcher they took, Joey Wentz, probably has higher upside. I think he may have been the best available pitcher in the draft if you weren't a Riley Plank fan, who, that happens to be one of his best friends there from the Kansas area. But I think that, look, Ian Anderson's pretty good. I mean, what he did once he overcame pneumonia, the oblique injury, here towards the end of the season, he got back to where he was last summer pitching for Team USA when he put himself on the map. And this ended up being the guy the Braves wanted because in taking him, a guy who they could sign under slot because, if Ian Anderson looks at it and says, hey, look, I'm going to get taken somewhere between 10 and 15, get a signing bonus, the slot value there is around $3 million. He's still getting $3 million here. He's still getting that same bonus here being selected third, but in doing so, to stay within the boundaries of their salary, the salary bonus pool, the Braves now were able to go out and get two more highly regarded starting or high school pitchers in Joey Wentz and Kyle Moeller. Had they gone out and got a college hitter, you're looking at maybe they only get two premium picks within those top 44 selections. Now they've got three, and as we all know, you take all these pitchers, you have all kind of hope and expectations for them, but at the end of the day, they aren't all going to work. So you try to gain as much quality as you can. The more quality arms you can gain, the quantity increases the odds that at least maybe two or three of them are going to hit and provide value for you at the big league level.
Yeah, and if they all hit, you're looking at a situation that you had once upon a time with this Braves team with all that great young pitching. And, they get Anderson, Wentz, Muller. Wentz and Muller already agreeing to deals. Anderson has to wait, I guess, until he graduates high school. But then they did also, I think day two, we can't overlook Drew Harrington. They get in the third round, another lefty. Wentz is a lefty. Muller's a lefty. They get Drew Harrington from Louisville, another lefty. And Louisville, one of the top teams in the country. So there's another guy, and a guy that will probably move a little quicker than those high school pitchers. But, man, the Braves really loaded up on pitching.
They did. And it's to their credit. Look, everyone can look and say what the immediate need is, what the need is within the entire system. Look, they need some bats. But at the same time, if the quality of the draft was not there, if the quality was not there in the early rounds from an offensive perspective, then it made sense to take pitching. And you go and get a guy like Harrington, a guy who maybe projects to be a reliever long term. Maybe he does move really quickly, helps you in Atlanta. Maybe at some point by next year, he's the ACC pitcher of the year this year. You go and get a guy like that. You also went out and got a kid named Bryce Wilson, a hard-throwing right-hander who you took at an overslot value or were able to sign to an overslot bonus because of the creativity you showed during the latter part of day two, where when it came time to take bats, you said, hey, look, we're going to take a bunch of college seniors, seniors that do not have any leverage because they can't go back to school. Now all of a sudden you're signing all of them to signing bonuses that range between probably not all of them are signed, but we're looking at $5,000 to $25,000. I mean, now all of a sudden, you know, because all of these, each of the picks within the first 10 rounds apply to the boundaries of the salary bonus pool, now you have more flexibility to go over slot with some guys like they did with Wentz and Mueller, combined with Anderson's decision to go under slot, and also get some other guys that you took in some latter rounds, Matt Rowland, the local kid here from Atlanta that they took in the 11th round. They went over slot with him because they see the upside there. And I just thought it was a very creative draft, one in which, yes, they did load up on arms. They've got some bats that will help at the upper, you know, maybe high A, double A level right away, fill some spots. But at the same time, I think it made more sense to go ahead and stock your farm system with the quality provided in this draft, which was with high school arms, than it did to take a chance on Nick Senzel, who wouldn't have been available to them. But let's say Senzel would have been available. I think Senzel is going to be a good third baseman long term. I do not think he's going to be a franchise changing, you know, once in a generation type player or anything like that. Let's put it that way. He's not going to be the kind of guy that's going to change your franchise's future.
Yeah, so hopefully, Mark, 5 years from now, Braves look back and Braves fans look back and kind of can circle the 2016 draft as something that really was a cornerstone for this rebuild. Well, hopefully in 5 years they'll already be rebuilt with what they've already done. But certainly a chance to really reload that system for sure. Great stuff as always, Mark. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.